Live from New York, it's Hans Zimmer and James Newton Howard on ScoreNotes.com.
So, I guess my first question is this the first time in your professional careers that you can remember a premiere week like this?
No. Personally,
happens all the time.
Remember, I was the fool who said to Jeffrey Katzenberg, "Hey, Jeffrey, let's do Spirit, since the horse doesn't talk. Let's just do it live in Cannes."
Oh, boy.
You know, the whole premiere.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And that was long ago that I forgot the pain.
Yeah.
And the anxiety.
What, did you play the whole score on?
Played the whole score live.
To the movie.
To the movie.
It's like old-fashioned movie going right there.
Absolutely.
That's a good idea, though.
Yeah. That's what I thought. It's scary as hell. Because here's the thing. When you play a concert, and James, who's played lots of things, will tell you that I'm telling the truth. When you get to a really hard number, mm-hmm. you can take a breather, and you decide when you play the next note. You can't do that with a movie. You know, I'm getting through this ridiculous stuff, and whoa, here's the next one.
Right.
So, but... to answer your question slightly more gracefully, I don't think this is an extraordinary movie, mm-hmm. Which we have been suspecting for a while, and I think now other people are suspecting it on having full knowledge of this. So that's been really good, mm-hmm. but it's I'm only just calming down from being told by the IMAX theater. If the tiger falls off the stage and rolls into the screen, that would be a bad thing. since we were tied, into their sound system, if you blow the speakers before we show the movie, that could be a bad thing. Mm. So I've been carrying that sort of on my shoulders for a little bit. So today I'm starting to feel...
Loosen up a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So how was last night, the premiere night?
It was fantastic. It was fantastic. You know, and the best thing for me was that Chris, who knows everything and everything that's going on, and really is a hands-on director, I said to him, "Look, I want to surprise you. I don't want you to know what I'm doing." Mm. And he had to sit in his hotel room, and he loved it. So that was great praise indeed. I'm still really excited about it.
I went up to him and I said, my only concern was that we were using the bat flaps, this big sort of signature sound in our musical preamble before the movie started. And he said, I thought about the same thing. And when I first heard it, I was a little bit, I'm not so sure about this. But they said the way it worked, it was so different that he thought, he just loved every single thing about it. And if you know Chris, that's an impossibility. Mm. He just doesn't.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a tough man to please.
I mean, what we tried to do is basically do a tune which was the, took you from the last movie into the new movie.
Okay, kind of like a segue to where we're
yes.
at now. Yeah.
And once upon a time, do you remember these bits? that sort of thing.
That's great. Now, I actually did want to ask you what piece did you play? Was it anything from The Dark Knight, or is it a combination?
It was a combination. I mean, it was cobbled together especially for the occasion.
Very nice.
And nice. Warner Brothers got really excited afterwards and said, "Okay, so we're doing this in Chicago." And I'm going, "No, this is like you get this once."
Now, is it safe to say, for those who have yet to hear the music, that you've upped the ante with the score, much like Chris has done with the movie? Have you taken it to maybe the next step as far as the intensity goes?
As far as the intensity goes, yes. Yeah. Definitely, I think so.
Yeah, well, intensity, I guess, and we've, the two new big-time characters.
In case you hadn't heard.
Yeah, rumor has it the Joker in the...
Yeah, so, there's a lot of new music, and, I think the burden that falls upon you when you're doing a sequel to a movie as successful as The Batman Begins is, how do you improve upon it, how do you make it better, what do you use from the old one, what new material do you have? And I think that we've done that, managed to do that really well. I think we've really dedicated ourselves individually to the two new characters, Hans really being responsible for the Joker and me taking care of Harvey Dent.
Plus, it was really nice hearing what people had to say last night. It's interesting to actually finally get, the, you know, feedback. Talking to feedback from real people. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the thing that they liked the best was that it certainly wasn't a traditional score. Mm. You know, because there's nothing really that traditional about the movie or the approach.
Right.
And you know, anybody who assumes that it's going to be a traditional orchestral score, and isn't going to like this, which is fine. I mean, for me, you know, what's felt great was that right from the word go, I never had to go and write a pretty note. I didn't have to go and write, you know, nor did James. Neither of us ever had to write, you know, that superhero theme. That, you know, that the idea of pushing the envelope and pushing it way past what your normal summer blockbuster has.
Right, and that in turn makes it a different type of movie, too.
You know, and some people have sent me, you know, some stuff from, I'm not sure if it was your website or somebody else, you know. And, I mean, me, of course, more than James, because James is the nicer guy and the better composer. I'm just getting savaged by some people.
It's film tracks, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And in a way, I'm loving it, because you suddenly realize that I'm doing exactly the job I'm supposed to be doing, which is I'm supposed to be ahead of the taste. I'm supposed to be ahead of...
Well, not only that, but they're not even, you know, I mean, to do that is such idiocy.
No, there's a...
I love it when people write about something and they just reveal how much they don't know about what they're writing.
Yes.
That's my...
And it's very interesting, for instance, reading about these things and they them truly not having a clue how a movie is made and how a movie score is made. You know, there's this whole thing about, oh, Chris Nolan must have stopped them from writing a main theme. Actually,
it's a big assumption,
We wrote exactly what we wanted to write. And what we felt was, you know, and still to this day, and we feel committed to the idea that it's the right music for it. We scored the movie.
Mm. Yeah, and actually there was a much bigger theme at one point, and
there are some big themes.
More traditional. Right. Yeah. And you know, and it took me a while. It took me 6 months to talk Chris out of using it.
Yeah.
Well. So it's you know, the process is the process on this one has been fascinating as well, because I think part of what makes this movie stand apart is everybody worked with such intensity, you know, and you know, intensity usually means people are shouting at each other. Quite the opposite, very focused. Calmly, very focused, and very dedicated. And knowing we were onto a good thing here, you know, we were doing something a little bit special.
Terrific, terrific. And, you know, for time purposes, I'll just ask, what's next on your schedules after the circuit concludes here? James, maybe if we could start with you.
I'm going to do a movie called Confessions of a Shopaholic, like P.J. Hogan's directed, and then a movie called Duplicity, Tony Gilroy's directed.
My friend James... You know, after we actually had a great night last night and we went to bed very late, actually got up at 8:30 this morning to go and spot another movie. Now that's dedication.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah. That's called bad scheduling.
No, I think that's dedication. You know.
And for you, Hans?
Oh, what am I doing? I'm doing Madagascar 2. I'm the sequel guy at the moment. I'm doing Madagascar 2 and I'm doing Angels and Demons. And then that's it. You know,
then we're going to charter a big yacht and go to the Caribbean.
Well, I'll visit you there while I'm on tour, because that's what I'm doing, you know.
And my very last question,
right.
Underrated movies that you both have worked on, for you, King Arthur, for you, The Postman, just wondering if you think those two movies and the music could have gotten a little more notoriety.
Not for me, I'm sorry, I'm answering for myself.
I don't think The Postman was underrated. I think it was a terrible movie.
Really? Wow.
I think, actually... You can't always know everything, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and so, for instance, for me, I learned a lot on King Arthur. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are lots of things I was trying out, which then came in really handy in Pirates.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
You know, so sometimes, here's a great thing. The great advantage you have about, it's one of the first things I learned when I was in rock and roll, I had this great manager, and he said, if you have a flop, it's sort of a great thing, because the nature of a flop is nobody's seen it, which sort of means you still have a clean slate. You can try using all that stuff again.
Very nice. All right, well, thank you both for your
time. You're very welcome.